Well, my husband, Jeff, works at Hazleton, which is an addiction treatment center for alcoholics and addicts. And Jeff himself has been sober. He's an alcoholic, but he's been sober for about 30 years, give or take. And he has come home from work many times just sharing, I mean, not confidential stories, but stories of what it is like to listen to alcoholics and addicts. And one of the things that he and the other staff members at Hazleton have gotten used to is a refrain that they hear from almost every client who walks in the door. And the refrain goes something like this: I have lost my job. My family has pretty much disowned me. I have lost my house. In fact, I'm living under a bridge, but I can quit anytime I choose. And the great tragedy of alcoholism is that it is a disease of the mind. And the further you go as an alcoholic, the less you are able to see that it is, in fact, you who have lost control of your drinking. And so all of treatment is geared toward getting alcoholics to what in Alcoholics Anonymous they call step one, which is simply to admit that they no longer have control over their drinking. In fact, step one says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Well, that moment of truth, that moment when the addict is first able to see the horribly painful truth about what their life has become, is worth everything. It paves the way for all of the sobriety and recovery that becomes possible after they take that first step. Well, in today's gospel text, the prodigal has a similar moment. Everyone is, is anyone not familiar with the story? This is a shame-free zone. Shame-free. Anyone not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? No, we all have heard it 400 billion times, right? So anyway, I will recap just very briefly. The prodigal insults his father badly by asking for his share of the will before the father dies, and then he proceeds to go and blow it all on parties and hookers. And then he runs out of the money and predictably needs a job, so he hires himself out to feed pigs. And then there's a famine in the land, and the prodigal actually catches himself longing to eat pig slops. I don't know if any of you have been on a farm, but they're disgusting. So he catches himself yearning for food that is only fit for pigs. And the text in today's, in Luke, says that he comes to himself. It's like he wakes up and he says, he realizes the way that he is on leads only to death. And it is his hunger that helps him realize he would be better off in disgrace in his father's house than starving with the pigs and utterly isolated. And so he goes home. He risks everything to go home. And when he gets there, he is embraced with a love far beyond anything he could possibly have imagined. So the prodigal, like the alcoholic, has this moment of truth that makes everything else possible. It's a moment of honesty that in the end leads him back into community with his father and his family, which is an occasion for wild rejoicing and celebrating. And I hope you notice that when he gets back, they don't say, all right, we'll take you back on a conditional basis, go back to school, brush up on your resume, at least take a shower and a good shave, right? They embrace him exactly as he is, starving and stinking and thin, because his very being is beloved. Well, like many of you, I imagine, I grew up in the Christian church in a different tradition than this one. And the one I grew up in, we interpreted this story in a very particular way. The prodigal was a lost person. And lost people, by definition, was nobody in this building. They were all out there, and they all believed the wrong thing. They were all lost. And that was what the prodigal was supposed to represent. So that was one caricature of the prodigal son story. Well, since then, I have come to, thankfully, a more expansive version of Christianity, but I think our temptation to caricaturize this story is no less here than it was there. I think we are very likely to see the prodigal as like the alcoholic living under the bridge, or like the homeless youths at YouthLink that I've talked about a lot. We are likely to see the prodigal as anyone but ourselves. In fact, I would say many of us are content to identify with the older brother, right? The one who is just mad because the prodigal gets all these praises and accolades for making one right choice when he's been making right choices his whole life. Well, I think we have a lot to learn from all the characters in the story, including the older brother. But right now, it's Lent. And Lent is about deep introspection and about courage and raw honesty. So today, regardless of how you have ever seen the prodigal son story before, I would like to invite each one of us to see the prodigal not as representative of the margins of society, but as representative of the essence of the human condition that each one of us lives in every day. And that condition is the condition of desperately needing a new beginning and having no power to make one for ourselves. Henry Nouwen said that the prodigal experienced utter lostness, utter isolation, and the deepest loneliness a person can experience. And it was this complete lostness that brought him to his senses. Excuse me, I have a cough. The prodigal was shocked into the awareness of his utter alienation, and he suddenly understood he had embarked on the road that led to death. And exactly in that place, he remembered he was not a pig worthy only to eat the pig slops, but he was his father's son. So, wherever you are right now, I would like to invite you to shake free of the week you just had and shake free of the week you are about to have, or the year, either way, or even just the day. And instead, just for this moment, I would like to invite you to survey your own life and allow the story of the prodigal to sink in. Where do you need a new beginning? Where are you hungry? When we're higher functioning than the alcoholic living under the bridge or the prodigal longing for pig slops, we get tempted to just motor through and keep trying to do everything on our own. In fact, this very week, I got so sick, and I think it's because I was doing exactly that, just working so hard for so long and not taking a break. And we do this at every level of our existence. We do it in our families and in our marriages and at work and at church and in council. And the great temptation for people in our culture, which so values, you know, success and the Super Bowl, stuff like that, the great temptation is to fail to recognize ourselves as prodigal. What the alcoholic knows and what the prodigal knows and what each of us needs to know is that if we can open ourselves to the love and power of God and let go of control, we can be caught up into the current of God's love and God's spirit in a way that is far beyond than anything we could contrive, even with the best of our own formidable skills and resources and intentions. And the way we open ourselves to the power of the living God is not by white-knuckling ourselves through stuff. It is instead by naming our hunger. This Lent, we've been talking a lot about reconciliation, and especially racial reconciliation, and that is an extremely important conversation. We need to have the conversation because reconciliation with God and ourselves and our neighbors is the heartbeat of following the way of Jesus. But it is precisely reconciliation that the prodigal experiences when he returns home. And after his pathetic speech about not being worthy to be called a son anymore, he just gets swept up into his father's embrace. And he gets the best robe put on him exactly as he is. In order for us to begin and continue the long, costly journey of reconciliation, especially between white folks and our African American and Native American brothers and sisters that white folks have wronged so desperately and for so long, we need to remind ourselves that we are always the prodigal. We are always tempted to try to fix everything ourselves, and we're always in need of the embrace of God. The God who can make a new beginning and a new creation out of all of us. In face of the great wrongs of history, we are in need of a new beginning. One of the texts, the lectionary text for today that we didn't have in today's bulletin is from 2 Corinthians, and it says that in Christ, all things are being made new. And we need that. We need God to make everything, including who we are, new. Well, when I returned to church 7 years ago after a two-decade absence, I was just looking for a Protestant church that would serve the Eucharist. And I didn't know why I wanted that. I had no idea. But I just had this nameless instinct. I wanted the comfort of the Eucharist. I think I was like the prodigal whose best plan to return to his father's house included a total loss of dignity, but at least he would be able to eat. What I didn't know, and what I do know now, is that the Eucharist is exactly the Father's ferocious celebration that you are here. The feast we celebrate is God's wildly ecstatic party, embracing all of us as beloved, exactly as we are. So this Lent, let us let go of control and be reconciled to God. Let us allow God to make a new beginning out of us so that we can embark on a journey together. Let us allow God to use us for the long, slow work of reconciliation with God and ourselves and our neighbors until all of creation experiences God's great shalom. Amen.